Hello, and welcome to the very first Animal Fire Podcast.
Woo!
Yeah, this is so exciting. A man literally just backed out of the room playing guitar. That's how that fade happened. So I hope you know we're only going to give you the very best of the Animal Fire Podcast. My name is Austin Anderson, and with me here today we have Jay Minton.
How you doing?
And Ian McNeely.
Greetings.
That's fantastic. So you're probably wondering, what is the Animal Fire Podcast? It's late and you're stumbling around the bowels of iPod or iTunes finding Shakespeare podcasts, and you found us, and I just told you about a man walking out of a room with a guitar. Basically, we're a bunch of young theater artists. We're really passionate about Shakespeare. We really like to do it. And we realized there was no outlet for people to talk about that on a podcast, and we thought we'd love to talk about it. We'd love to start a dialogue with people all around the country and the world, and what better way to do than to talk about stuff and to get people to hopefully talk back to us about it. Right, guys? Does that sound accurate?
Faux show.
That sounds like the plan.
Is that the lie I told you in the email?
Yeah.
That's how you got us here.
Right.
Good.
Well, I was told there would be beer.
Yeah, but I was made to believe there'd be beer at this podcast recording.
But whatever. You know.
I lied. So this is going to be a series of podcasts that's going to run parallel with Animal Fire Theater's performance of Hamlet in Priest Point Park in Olympia, Washington. But it will not be exclusively things about Hamlet in Olympia, Washington. We're just going to talk about things we want to talk about, why we do Shakespeare, why we do theater, what gets us excited. And I'm going to have a lot of different people coming into this podcast, a lot of special guests, if you will.
Very special.
Who will hopefully give you a whole wide range of opinions and ideas about the art and craft of theater. I'm really excited. I'm like vibrating over here on the couch. And
we are excited too.
Yes.
Yes, as are we. Blowing minds.
And here we go. And these are my first two guests, Jay Minton and Ian McNeely. These guys are a little more closer tied into Hamlet. Jay Minton is playing Hamlet. Ian McNeely is playing Laertes.
Yeah.
Directors love it when you tell their actors what they're playing and they groan. an audible sigh. Nothing like that. And today, just to start off, we're going to talk about why we do Shakespeare. Because I think it begs asking, because it's kind of a weird thing, a weird hobby. But so, Ian, why do we do Shakespeare?
Gosh, it is a great question. I've done a lot of Shakespeare in the last 2 years. And at first, I could not have answered that question. But now that I've done it more
now that you're stalling.
Yeah. Why do we do Shakespeare? Jay, what do you think?
Well, I don't know. You see, like, to some degree, it's because it's what's available. Just to be completely truthful, it's something that happens and it's out there. But at least that's how it started for me. I had been in 2 Shakespeare shows before Macbeth last year, and I've been in 4 since. So it's what's there. But it's because it's, I don't know, I think ultimately it's because it's human. It's dealing with these big kings and queens and things. You think usually things that are human, that are universal, that we connect to, are things that we see, that we recognize. And yet we have these kings, these queens, these great things, and they're so motivated by such human things. We see ourselves in these people, even though we aren't really them. It's kind of, it's a neat trick.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
I like that thought too, because of how old Shakespeare is. You know, you've got 400 plus years and you can still recognize yourself in some of these characters. Mm-hmm. That just kind of puts things into perspective for me, where human beings have been going through the same problems for so long. And if I have problems in my life, everyone goes through these problems for hundreds and maybe thousands of years. People have had these same problems, and here you are. So just kind of take a moment, breathe, and realize that it's always going to be like this. This is life. This is everyone's life.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of iPods or our castles, this is how life kind of boils down to.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be that guy that also says, I love the poetry. I know that that's something a lot of people get turned off by. It's kind of boring to average Joe theater goer. But I love some of the poetry. It's so beautiful,
yeah,
especially in Hamlet. I know we're supposed to talk about more than just Hamlet, but
I hear you, man. Like I'm, you know, I guess we are supposed to talk about more than just Hamlet, but that's what I'm doing, so it's on my mind.
Yeah.
But you know, and like we're in the process right now where we're just starting, and so it's kind of trying to cram your lines in your head, and it's hard not to get distracted by just like, wow, that's a beautiful like thing right there, and like think about that instead of nope, just remember that. words.
Yeah, there's a funny disconnect between saying things that are incredibly beautiful, but saying it as a character that would have no conception that he just espoused the most eloquently written speech in the history of the English language.
Yeah.
He's just thinking out loud.
Halfway through a thought of how am I going to figure out how to murder the king, I accidentally have the most beautifully written thought about human existence ever.
Yeah.
And keep. I like that. I think that they're... I like that so much better than like a poetry reading where you've got some guy who's reading poetry and trying to do it almost without emotion or without purpose.
Oh, yeah.
There's something that kind of gives it like
like grounds it in.
Yeah, grounds. Yeah. Gives it like an intense... Gives it almost a reason. Like, because poetry... I think it's kind of fallen to the wayside. It's kind of like, you know, flowery guys in doublets moving their hands in odd motions.
Right. Well, I mean, that...
Sorry, poet major. Sorry, anyone with an MFA.
Well, that's why slam poetry, I think, is picking up. Jeff was talking about that the other day. But it's because... Like,
no one knows who Jeff is.
That's true, but, you know...
Yet.
Well, actually, yeah, yet. But yeah, Jeff was talking about that in Portland, that there's tons of people go see the slam poetry because they're really passionate when they do it. They get really a lot of oomph behind their poetry.
Mm-hmm. Right. I love them.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
What speeches were you thinking about? I mean, we're talking about these big things, like they throw around the best speech ever in the English language, but specifically in Hamlet, he's got 6 big soliloquies, right?
Something like that. I don't think,
maybe an R cut, he has 5.5.
right.
Are there any of those that stand out to you guys as being particularly amazing?
Particularly in poetry terms?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I mean, to be or not to be is you know, I mean,
not familiar with that one.
Yeah, not to just jump to the big one, but I mean, I can't, this is where I probably should quote something from it, but.
If you want to cheat, there's a copy of Hamlet right behind you in my backpack. This is the most transparent podcast ever. I'm telling you how the man walks through the door and how we're cheating by pulling out of my backpack. And
you're ruining the magic.
Yeah, no smoke and mirrors here.
I'll add some magic. Jay mentioned Jeff earlier. I want you to think of the most famous Jeff you know, and it's that Jeff.
Yeah.
I love the speeches in Hamlet. I'm going back to that. I love it.
Do it.
But I particularly like... The players. I'm so excited about the players. I get to be the murderer player, Lucianus. And I love the conceptual idea of doing a play in a play. It's a bit of a mind you know what. I've been told I'm not allowed to swear on this podcast.
I like how the guy who brings up how much he loves the poetry then can't find another word besides in place of a swear word. Yeah,
yeah, that's shameless. It's terrible.
That's... I actually, speeches are great. I like the speeches, but I'm always amazed by like the one little line that pops out in Shakespeare. Like it's so short. It's not a whole speech about a thought. It's just one thought. I remember in Henry V, and I'm going to butcher it. I'm not going to quote it right at all. But, what is that line, Ian, in Henry V where he's just trying to comfort one of his soldiers and out of nowhere, he just kind of says, there's a grain of something good in everything if man would just distill it out.
Yeah, that's a pretty good paraphrase.
Yeah, and it's just, it's those little pops, like this little almost like accents, like if it was jazz music, it'd be like this snare pop or something in the middle of the story where it's just kind of like this little poignant moment and these beautiful little lines that kind of just really hit you right in the gut. Mm-hmm. This is the part of the podcast where we'll just kind of look sadly and think about our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that is interesting because they live under such heightened circumstances in the plays. I mean, we don't have a lot of problems of our uncles killing our dads and marrying our moms.
Mm.
But at the same time, your job as an actor is to empathize with that situation, and hopefully you can do that successfully.
Right.
But it's a tall order to do that. Like Laertes, I've obviously been looking at my lines a lot recently, and they do that thing, which every actor hates, where the character says in the lines, I'm crying now.
Mm.
And it's just, you know, that's intimidating to look at it. And I think, what does Laertes say? My tears make me womanish. But after I get this first batch out, I'll be okay. And that's tough, man, to see that written on the page and then know that there's no flexibility.
Right.
I am crying right now. Yeah.
We were driving up here today in the car, Ian and me, and you were bringing up that line when Laertes jumps in the graveyard and says... You know, I'm so distraught that my sister's died. I'm going to jump in the graveyard and you can bury me with her. But he says it in the most beautiful, poetry. He's citing ancient Greek mythology, you know, overpile me with the mountain of Olympus or something like that.
Yep.
What a great Shakespeare podcast where we can't actually quote the... You know, this is good because I think that if we were quoting, it would be lame. We just sound like we're reading a book. This is just our, like, what we remember, what we take away from it.
But yep, that's amazing, right? That's a huge check that Laertes is like, says earnestly, bury me in the grave with my dead sister because I don't want to go on. Like, that's a... Can you imagine being in a position to actually to do that and then to do it, you know, 4 or 5 times a week?
That's... Right, and then have some douche come in and like, that's not real. You're not really, you don't really mean that.
Yeah.
I'll jump in.
Thank you very much, Hamlet.
Yeah.
I can't wait to discover how that works.
Yeah.
That might be, it's taken me a long time to answer the question, but what I think I enjoy the most about Shakespeare is that it's a blank canvas. You have these series of events, maybe like a constellation, where you can follow them from point A to point B, and so on until the very end where Hamlet is dead and everyone's dead on stage. But how you get between the
Don't
points...
Don't give it away.
Oh, yeah, now they know. Damn it. No.
400-year-old spoiler alert. Right.
But anyway, you have the control over how you get between these events, and it's really the most artistic form of theater, because if you did because if you did an Arthur Miller show or anything modern, you would have to follow the script, and it would tell you everything. And Shakespeare, you sort of have to fill it in.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's so set in a time, and that's what Shakespeare, that's the kind of the beauty of Shakespeare, is that, I mean, it is, but it really doesn't have to be. That's why you see, you know, Easy Rider, Titus, or...
That's happening in Olympia,
yeah.
It runs parallel to our Hamlet.
Or what was that 12th Night that they did that was in, like, the... Greece or the 70s or what? I don't know.
Why did a 12th Night that was set in 1980s Miami, like Miami Vice style?
Well, the Idaho Repertory Theater one.
Yeah,
Moscow, Idaho.
Yeah.
We all went to college in Moscow, Idaho, at the University of Idaho.
Yeah.
Go Vandals.
Go Vandals.
Yeah. They have a good theater program. I think that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
Yeah. You know, we all talk a lot about.
If you're looking for a good theater program.
Yes. Yeah. If you're looking for a good theater program in Middle Idaho, well, do I have a recommendation for you?
Go study in Moscow, Idaho. That joke usually kills.
Isn't that what you send people on your OkCupid profile?
Hey, whoa. I was made to believe we did not have to talk about that. Austin's outing me as an OkCupid user.
That's good. No.
Ladies, that's Ian J. Mack. Screen name. Check it out. Yeah. I expect
this podcast,
a kind message, please.
This podcast has just officially surpassed my wildest dreams. Follow me along with this thought, but I think that's fine because OkCupid is a great example of how technology can be helpful and good. Like, I mean, because let's be honest, you're connecting with people. Like, you're trying to meet people you may have never met before and somehow. And that's kind of what we're trying to do here, like with Shakespeare. Because it's so easy when theater is so regional and can be so insular and like so like this town has this small chunk of theater that happens. This town has this small chunk of theater that happens. And I think that there's this huge, glorious internet, and we could all be talking to each other and connecting and learning so much more. Like the world's university, like in the way a university used to be the place you all went to, read great books and talked about it. Sure. We've got that, and theater kind of seems to not be getting on that bandwagon. And I'm a little mad at you, theater. Theater, you're on notice.
It's the last vestige, right, of that old world model where you're separated around, because it seems like there are all the regional theaters that are big hubs. Like you said, they don't reach outside the regions.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like here in the Puget Sound area, what are the big ones? It's like Seattle Rep, Intamon.
Fifth Ave.
Yeah, Fifth Ave for the musicals. There's Seattle Shakes.
Does OSF count as the Northwest?
Oh, yeah, it does.
Oh, okay. That's
Hells, I can say Hells, right?
You already did, so yes.
It's with a Z. So
wait, no, I don't want to play that game. Yes, you can say Hells. It has nothing to do with the fact that you said it before or not.
Thank you. Okay. Well, OSF, I think that's got to be the biggest theater in the whole Northwest. That's one of the biggest regional theaters in the country. Oregon Shakespeare Festival, for you listeners out there, is what OSF stands for. Cool place in Ashland, Oregon. Check it out. They do like 11 or 12 shows in a rep every year. It's huge. And they run for 10 months of the year. As far as Shakespeare goes, in the Northwest, it's the big game in town.
Well, the big game in a town far, far away from everybody.
Right.
Yeah, the Northwest is so big geographically and Sometimes it feels a little small culturally.
Zing.
Zing. Take that, Northwest. Sorry.
From Why Do We Do Shakespeare to Why We Don't, Why We Want to, you know, Make Fun of the Northwest.
Yeah.
Just like
in under 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Where were we on? We were on.
Yeah, what was the point you were making about regional theater?
I was just talking.
I was making the point about regional theater.
Oh,
I think that there are. I think that there are lots of people our age who are really into theater and in live performance and Shakespeare as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's a smaller group of us. You know, it's not a big mainstream thing like I don't know, like music or something. I think it's a small group, but it's people who really like what they do, and it's a niche hobby, which is totally cool. And that the internet could be a great way to connect with those people. Because that's what the internet seems to be really good at doing, is finding people who have these interests and these passions and connecting all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, absolutely.
And I wish that I'd like to do that more with Shakespeare, which is why I'm here.
Yeah, that's definitely a cool thing. It's difficult, though, because there's something about the immediacy of theater and the kind of proximity of it that... It would seem difficult to pair with the internet, but I guess if you're talking about the bigger Shakespearean themes, then perhaps not.
That's true.
I have no idea what I'm saying.
That's a good point. How do you, theater happens once, or, you know, happens for your 3 weekends, your 5 weekends, however many weekends you do it, 20 performances, 80 performances, but it happens and it's gone. Is there still a way to connect with people about what you do? Like, if they can't see your work and you can't see their work, there's still common ground there to get together and talk about it and be interested in it.
Yeah.
I guess we have the advantage with Shakespeare that there is a text that survives, like the Bible. You know, we could all go look up the same page and have a common frame of reference, as opposed to a performance that is ephemeral and you do it and then it's over.
Yeah.
But maybe this is a... open topic for discussion. Maybe the future is a system where we perform and capture it somehow and share it on the internet in a way that is a common frame of reference, not just on the page, but also maybe on YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, that helps, but it's so... I mean, we've all watched kind of...
They don't translate very well, do they?
It's difficult to translate that, but, I mean, it would certainly be better than nothing. And you can still talk about ideas, you know, you're near... choices that you make is, you know, like, I guess, so I mean, there is some stuff to talk about.
Maybe there are more creative ways to do it. I mean, Austin and I had a really cool idea. I thought to put helmet cams on and do the sword fight. What do you call that? You know, a helmet mounted
POV
camera.
Cam. POV.
POV cam. Yeah.
Point
you.
Of view.
Point of, oh, that's what that's
Port of Varanzas.
Anyway, and so you could watch, like, a sword fight from the view of the people doing it. Mm. I think that'd be pretty fun. We're going to do a rapier, or maybe a rapier-dagger fight for Hamlet for that last scene, which will be fun. I love doing those fights.
Yeah.
We did Twelfth Night last year, and we had two really cool fights that the three of us did in two separate fights, obviously. But it's great. A lot of fun.
I like the idea of sharing common ideas. Like, we're all in this together, and I think we all... we all want more people to be excited about seeing theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I think it's not a question of doing good work. I mean, you always want to do good work and you want to express yourself, but it's more of a question of people have so many options. How do you kind of get them to give you a piece of their pie?
This podcast is brought to you by Diet Soda.
Generic soda. That's right. Soda.
Yeah.
I'd like to see cool ways of, like, you know, people putting out their ideas, like, oh, here's how we advertised for our show and it was really successful. Here's something we did and stuff like that.
Yeah, an interactive quality.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
I think the more that theater thinks about itself all being in this together, the better. I think any kind of, like, you know, thinking you have the secret and you have to hoard it is no good, because the more people that in the world in general want to see theater and are excited about theater,
the better
yeah, for absolutely. Everybody, mm-hmm. you know.
That reminds me, that's what I was trying to say before, and I lost my focus, that if we all were to connect these disparate regions into a unified grassroots theatrical community, maybe that would solve a lot of our problems.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
like you said, get all those ideas out in the public, get sharing our thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you know, if you run a theater, if you're doing a show, maybe in the program, try to put as many other shows happening in your area as you can. You know, like spread the word about other theaters. Like
webmasters can link the pages together and
exactly
increase the search engine relevance.
Like you mentioned before, there is a version of Titus Andronicus being performed by Theater Artists Olympia, happening parallel with our run of Hamlet. And I hope that we can help them as much as we can and tell other people. Because the more people who get excited about Shakespeare, the better it is for everybody. We all love this. We all want people to be excited about it like we are, because then we have more friends who can talk about it.
Yeah.
And we can fill this room full of 20 podcasters.
Woo.
Yeah, that's right, man. Yeah. And that's great. I think that that there is such a heritage in these plays that needs to be maintained. And that's not innate. We can't just expect the plays to have enough merit to survive on their own because the poetry is so beautiful. We have to actively work at producing them and making them interesting and, most importantly, relevant. Because I believe there is relevance there, but it does take work to present it. And these are perhaps the greatest treasure of the English language. That sounds like hyperbole, but I think it really is true. It's an amazing canon of work, and I'm very passionate about continuing to keep it going, to keep it relevant.
Mm-hmm.
I always like the idea because I've got authoritarian defiance disorder.
I do too.
Yeah. So I always like the idea of these texts are supposed to be great. Everyone says they have relevance. I always like to try it. I always like to poke that bear and see.
Yeah,
like
that's
by performing and staging it, I think there's always kind of in my mind, there's a feeling of, well, let's see if this does have relevance.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put your money where your mouth is, Hamlet. 400 years later, can you still make me feel sad about dying? I don't know.
Let's find out.
That's a terrible way to say that. Sad
no,
about
it's
dying.
True, though, because we've all gone to see Shakespeare plays. This sounds rude, but that have been, you know, boring and stupid and not worth your time or the price of the ticket. And sorry that if that bothers people, but it's true. And the sooner we deal with that, the better.
It's interesting, though, that you bring that up, but you also say that, you know, we have to make them relevant. And I feel like the Shakespeare that I have seen that has failed has gotten away from what is at the heart of a show. You know, they say this is old, so we need to reinvent this. We need to make it relevant. And it's like, well, I don't see that. I feel like yes, you have to make it relevant, of course, but you have to kind of get to the heart of whatever you're doing before you change something about it.
To your point, there was a production 2 years ago in Olympia of Othello, a play I really love, and they set it in the 60s, in the race riots, which seems, on the surface, to be a more...
It's a more recent
relevant
event
that
has similarities to the events
of the
show. An
immersive quality, yeah, but in truth... It ended up distracting from the point of the play, which wasn't race, really. I mean, Othello's, I think, about the triangle of Desdemona, Othello, and Iago, and how that drama unfolds. And that really isn't based on race. It's based on something a lot more interpersonal.
Hmm.
I think that's one of the ways you can litmus test these Shakespeare plays, is because I think there is so... there's a depth to them, and they're fuzzy around the edges. You can't point to a Shakespeare play and say it's about that.
Yeah.
It's about this.
Mm-hmm.
And when you try to shoehorn it into being about that or about this, you lose all the nuance, and suddenly you just got one flavor in your mouth. You know, you're just eating the chocolate when Shakespeare's writing Neapolitan.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Ice cream metaphors, man. Mm-hmm. Blowing your mind.
Yeah. This show is brought to you by Neapolitan ice cream. You know which flavor you like the best. It'll be gone first, and the other two will just sit in your freezer till you're sad.
Mm.
Neapolitan ice cream.
So many sponsors, so little time.
So many completely generic sponsors.
Which reminds me, folks, if you're looking for a sponsorship opportunity and you're on the sponsoring side, you should sponsor our podcast.
Oh. Yes. We would love to have someone sponsor our podcast.
Thank goodness that didn't become an alcoholic thing. I assume that was like, I'll be someone's alcoholic sponsor in AA.
Oh, no, that's
that
not
was
where
my head was going, and I was like, oh, this is going to go downhill fast. And then instead of just letting it ride, I made it go downhill by talking about it. That's what I do.
Thanks, Jay.
Yep.
Shakespeare podcast number one.
All right.
Season one, episode one.
Let's wrap this up. Let's do final thought. Yeah, let's do final thoughts. I think
okay.
Brevity is the soul of wit,
mm-hmm.
said Polonius in Hamlet.
All right.
Jay.
Yes.
Final thoughts.
The universal nature of Shakespeare is what makes it personal.
Nice. Nicely put. I don't know how I'm ever going to top that thought.
Wow, yeah, you win this fight.
Yeah.
You don't really need to have a final thought that wraps everything up. I just said that because it sounded good.
That's okay. No, I'm ready, man. I'm ready for the challenge. My final thought is that you should come see Hamlet in Priest Point Park if you're in the
Thank
Olympia
you.
Area.
Okay, yes. Hamlet's going to be happening in Priest Point Park, Olympia, Washington, July 19th to the 22nd, the 26th to the 30th, and August 2 through the 5th. All performances are at 7 p.m., and it's completely free.
Be there.
It's completely free. These podcasts are going to be going up every Wednesday, and you can find them on animalfiretheater.wordpress.com, animalfiretheater.com, or facebook.com/animalfiretheater. As well as these podcasts, we're going to have a series of blogs up every Monday talking about cool ideas with more structure than the kind of freeform talk we had here. And every Friday, there'll be photos and videos up of what we're doing. And if there's one thing I could get from all of this, it would be your comments, your thoughts. I would love to hear anything you have to say because I want to get this internet full of conversation. So tell me your thoughts. At AF Theater is our Twitter. So you've got so many ways to contact us, so many ways to tell us what you think. If you thought that everything we said was wrong, I'd love to hear it. If you have questions, we'll do a question section on this podcast. It's all up in the air. It's open.
Cool.
But we're going to have a lot of fun this summer and maybe even beyond it. Every week, every Wednesday, we'll have a podcast. And that's it. Thanks, guys. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Thank you, Austin Anderson.
Yep. Yeah.